forgiven is a prerequisite for redemption. Okay, purchase is the word you need to. So our debt has been paid. In other words, redemption means purchased. A purchase. Somebody had to pay a price. Okay, you owed something, and someone else came in and paid the price for you. Now, to do that, the person has to show up. Okay, he has to come to the market. Secondly, he has to pay the payment. That's a different Greek word or Hebrew word. He's got to pay the payment. And that's so Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then he paid a payment. You know what he paid a payment you can't pay? How many of you could afford $1 million bail? Well, I couldn't. I wouldn't want to have $1 million bail, let alone could afford it. Well, how about all your sins and every penalty you ever done? I had a guy tell me, I'll pay for my own mistakes. I said, yeah, you're going to. He goes, well, see, I told you. I said, it's going to take you forever. And when you get done with forever, you still won't have it paid off because it's going to be forever, forever, and forever, forever. He goes, what? I said, it never gets paid off because your good works or your whatever cannot pay for your sins. And it has to be paid by someone better than you, someone who's perfect, Jesus Christ. Amen? But not only does it say he's got to come to the market, he has to pay the debt, but then guess what? Redemption means he also sets us free. That's pretty cool, amen? So it's pretty cool. Number two, Christ confirmed it by faith. He confirmed our salvation by faith. We are saved through Christ. I love that word, everlasting life or eternal life. Now, I've had people ask why the two different Greek words or English words for eternal life or everlasting. Well, eternal means is the actual gift given. The actual gift given by God is eternal life. It's a life that started from all the way to the beginning of time to the end of the world. The Bible says from the foundation of the earth all the way to the end is this gift called eternal life. When we get it, then it becomes everlasting in our life. See, we can't claim, quote, eternal life because we didn't have it. I didn't have it before I was born. So eternal life is the actual gift. Our experience is everlasting. What I like about what God gives us, he says, that we're passed from death unto life. Amen? That we're passed from unrighteous to righteous, from unjust to just. Hey, we're passing from going bound for hell to going to heaven. And it's not probationary life. See, he converted by saying, I'm going to give you everlasting life. Not just partial. Number three here on C. Not only the all promise, his last one is justifies us by faith. We know the word justified. I've had people explain it as just as if you've never sinned. But that's not true because you wouldn't have a paper with your name at the top. I don't have my name up here, but let's just examine. Before, it looked more like this. All my sins written down, but when Jesus came, now my tablet looks like that. I have a clear tablet. When God sees me, he sees no sin. Same thing for you. If you're saved by grace, doesn't matter how stupid you've been since you've been saved. In heaven, that's what your tablet looks like. Now, in your tablet, it looks like this, or maybe 42 pages like this. But in God's tablet, it's that. Isn't that a gracious God? And that's what Christ gives you through faith. If you want to go by the law, guess what? The law looks like that. Hey, go to your friends and ask you how good you are. They'll let you know. They'll tell you exactly what they think of you. Or even your enemies, amen? So let's go to the last one, if you would, please. Go, if you would, with me to 1 Timothy. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture, first of all. Okay, are you there? 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? Because I want you to read this first with me. You read it silently, I'll read it out loud. You there? Okay. For there is one God, and all God's people said, and one mediator between God and man. Everybody say amen? Amen. Mary. Doesn't say that? Doesn't say the mother of the God. It says the man, Christ Jesus. Is that what it says in your Bible? 1 Timothy 2:5. There's only one. Here's the last one. Law and or faith when it comes to a mediator. A mediator. The mediator. So, go back to our text in Galatians chapter 3, and let's look down through this and study this out real quickly. Verse 19 of chapter 3 of Galatians says this. Wherefore, then, serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a what? Mediator. Who's the mediator? Jesus Christ. The man Christ Jesus. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And the law then against the promises of God, God forbid, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded, all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So the first thing we see on the mediator, what does the mediator called the law give us? What does the law give us? Okay, the knowledge of sin. That's good. Actually, that's good. Okay, since we have the knowledge that we're sinners, what's the end result of being a sinner? Condemnation? That's not the end. What's the end? Put your hand down. The end.
Death.
Raise your hand and I would point at you. Death. Okay? What? Rules. Rules. Rules, regulations. But what they point to is a ending of, the ending of the law is what? Because no one can conclude, the soul that sinneth, it must what? Die. So how, if I'm going to depend on the law to be my mediator, I'm going to go before God and say, now hold on a second, God. I wasn't as bad as Gary. He's horrible. Look, I got a list. And my infractions are about a third of Gary's. And Lynn's, it's about a tenth. So I know I can't be going to hell, Lord. I'm pretty good. How many people have you met say, I'm a good person? Oh, how about this? I had a lady say, I haven't killed anybody and I love cats. I do too with my gravy. I was joking with her. She did not like that. I guess from then on I was going to hell for her. But that's what the law gives you, because then the Lord goes, hold on a second. Let me look at the book. Remember? The Bible says we're all going to be a judge according to our works. Are you glad? Now listen to me. Are you glad as a believer that because of your works and God judging you according to your works, it won't send you to hell?
Amen.
It may limit your rewards in heaven, but it ain't going to send you to hell. Aren't you glad? There's no condemnation. So with faith is life. Christ gives us life, and life more abundantly. Come on, amen? Our mediator gives us life. So we look here. First of all, the law, and we just read it, gives us death, but faith gives us life. I don't know about you folks, I'll take faith. Amen? Because he even said, if I could give you a law that would give you a life, I'd give it to you, but I can't. So I brought Christ in. And our faith in Christ, those who believe, have life. Let's look at the second one, if you would, verse 23. We're going to get done early, so I think the snow's going to be gone before you can build your snowman. That was Bob that wanted to build a snowman. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So the law gives us a schoolmaster. We see that on the first B, law, a schoolmaster. Now, what does a schoolmaster entail to you? Okay. Strict rules, regulations, okay. A teacher, someone that's a constant teacher, okay? Going to test you, punish you if you do wrong. Ruler on the wrist, put you in the corner. Anybody have to go in the corner? I had dunce hat. You didn't have to put the dunce hat on you, did you, Bob? No. No. I mean, a schoolmaster is a rigorous. Thou shalt not. You know, many people, I was talking to my son Daniel today, he's witnessing to a young lad. I said, many people see this as a book of condemnation because they see the law in the wrong reason. The law was to show us that we have a schoolmaster and that there's a God that's going to get us out of that schoolmaster and give us Christ. But they see, that's all they see. They see it as a condemnation. But the Bible says John chapter 3, that they're condemned already. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. We've all sinned, so we're all condemned to go to hell. This is a love story about God seeing the creation going to hell and says, I'll send Christ. I'll send my son, and he prepared him a body to save him. So we see, first of all, a schoolmaster. Secondly, see, faith makes us, gives us children of God. Not a schoolmaster. We're children of God. We don't have someone ruling. God doesn't want us to be ruled out. He wants us to have liberty as a child, to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, to be able to say, hey, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What a father, amen? I mean, the Bible even says, Beloved, behold what manner of love hath God bestowed upon us in that we are called children. God doesn't want us to read the Bible and think, law, 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 thou shalt, you can't do this. You know what? Guess what? As a Christian, you can do everything you want to, even right. You can even do right. You can even do justice and righteousness. You can make good decisions. You don't have to always do wrong because you're under the schoolmaster of the law. Condemned as soon as you go, get up. Oh, I'm nobody. When Christ gives you, saves you, He says, no, you're my brother in Christ, sister in Christ. We're children of God. Amen? Kind of interesting with Jesus' position. We see the last one in verse 27, if you would, please. We're going to end really early, but that's okay. Verse 27. So did you get that? So we got death, life, then we have schoolmaster, children of God. Lastly, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. Okay, let me just stop here real quickly before we go on. He's talking to those in the church that were Jews. Remember how the Bible says all the Jews, children of Israel, were baptized at the same time when they crossed the Red Sea. Remember that? He talks about that earlier in Galatians and Romans, how they were baptized all at the same time. So you're all baptized in Christ. He's talking to the children of Israel. And so here's the last part. The law divides. Read the Old Testament law. What does it say about the Old Testament law about you getting near an unclean person? Meaning they got blood problems or they're on their menstrual period or they saw a dead person. Well, you're just unclean.
Yeah. Until
yeah, sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's overnight, until the evening, and it depends on what. So can you imagine going through life like that? We have people today that are call themselves Christians going through life trying to stay away from bad people. Well, that'd be kind of hard. I'm with me all day long. I can't escape the one that gives me the most problems. It's me. I'm 24/7 with Dan Savage, and that gives me enough problems. My wife understands that because every once in a while she says, go away. All I'm saying is this, listen to this very carefully. All I'm saying is there's a lot of Christians out there, and hopefully none in here that they go to homeschool not because they think it's the best. They want to keep their kids from the unsaved people, from the unclean people. When we go shopping, we're going to go as a family. We're going to go like in our little bubble, and we're going to go get our stuff, and we're going to come out. We're not going to hardly communicate because we don't want it. Oh, no, put your blinders on. Don't look at this. Don't like that. I remember saying that, accidentally saying binoculars instead of blinders. Is that a Freudian slip? You know. But anyways, there's a lot of people living like it. They go to church looking for that perfect church. I had someone even say once, we had a perfect church until they showed up. And I said, well, obviously you were wrong because that makes two of you now that are bad. We're all bad. We're all sinners. But see, law divides from clean to unclean. And what did the Lord say to Peter? What God hath called clean, call thou not unclean. What he had called common, now call thou not uncommon. See, Christ, faith, unites. Law divides. Faith unites. Israelites, Gentiles can get saved. Gentiles could be called righteous. Well, that was freaking them out. The heathen can be called righteous. We had a family here. I am not kidding you. Came from a church in California, and for the first 2 years, it took me 2 years to get them to quit calling unsaved people heathens. They came from a church that believed all people that were unsaved were heathens. And I thought, were you a heathen? Oh, no. I went, whoa, hold on a second. How come you? I'm from a good Christian family. That doesn't mean you weren't a heathen before you got saved. And I said, wow. But it took me 2 years to convince them we're all sinners on our way to hell. We're all heathen. We need Christ to save us. We don't need the law to save us. See, morality. Okay, hold on. Let me stop for just a second. We'll finish with this. You guys remember what it teaches in the Bible about the millennial kingdom? All right, so one of these days, the Lord's going to come again and take every Christian out of here. So there'll be no Christians on the earth. The restrainer, the Holy Spirit, will be taken out. I had someone that was here for a while, come every once in a while, was in her institute, that believed in mid-trib rapture. And I said, well, that can't make sense because the restrainer's gone. Oh, yeah, the restrainer goes early, and then all this stuff. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. If the restrainer goes, the Holy Spirit, then I'm going with him because the Bible says I'm going to put him in you, and he will never leave thee. Right. So if he's going, I'm going. So I'm gone, you're gone. If you're saved, you're gone. The Holy Spirit's gone. The earth is left to itself with nothing but sin. So the planet goes into convulsions. He says, if the children do not cry out, even the stones will cry out. Can you imagine the stones, the rocks, and the mountains crying out praises to God during the tribulation period? This earth is going to go into convulsions, and we're going to have earthquakes and mountains falling and seas turning into blood, and all this unreal stuff's going to happen. Then Jesus is going to come back. Conquer 200 million soldiers in one word. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And we're going to come with him on our white horses. Amen. We won't have to fight just like Jehoshaphat. He says, I got this. This is the Lord's battle. We're just going to show up. We're going to be all girded up. We're going to come to the battle and we're going to just go to reap the benefits called the millennial kingdom. For 1,000 years, Christ is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem, Zion, is going to be up in the air. It's going to be a sphere. And us believers that are saved and got raptured to be going back and forth to that city. Coming down here, you're either going to serve down here for 1,000 years or you're going to reign down here for 1,000 years. If you serve now, you'll reign then. If you don't serve now, you'll serve then. So question, 70 years of service or 1,000? Which one do you want? Amen? I'm going to pick 70. Amen? I don't know if I'm going to get to 70, but I'm going to go 70. Well, we're 50 now, so I don't know. But anyway, so the Lord's going to come. If you sin, you die. Am I right? Rod of iron. You sin, you die. After 1,000 years of that, the devil gets released from the bottomless pit and forms a resistance against Christ with an innumerable amount of people Hold on a second. These people survived 1,000 years keeping the law perfectly, but they're not saved. They turn and fight with Satan. Morality doesn't save you. Faith in Christ does. And with faith in Christ and figuring out how much He loves you, by debt of that love, you will serve Him and strive to do right. That's a reason for coming to church. That's a reason for reading your Bible. Not because you have to. Not because if you don't, you're not going to go to heaven. No, it's because you love Jesus. And Jesus set up the church to reach the people of the world. And you want to get involved with that, because if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be saved. Think about this. Some of you people that hardly ever come to church, if it wasn't for the church, you probably wouldn't be saved. Someone in the church area, got saved, got the gospel to you somehow, or invited you to church and you heard it from the pastor and you got saved. You ought to love it, because now you're going to heaven instead of spending eternity in a lake of fire. Isn't that great? Listen, what we're trying to say here is, folks, let's get off this law stuff. We're going to get more into it next week. There's a lesson outline back there, number 4. We're going to look at the opposition. We're going to have a big list of what the law gets you and what grace gets you. And I hope you come back next week with that. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for this time in Your book. I pray that You'll help us now as we go throughout this day, but mostly in our lives. May we fall in love with the One who loves us. Give us strength and wisdom in Christ's name. Amen.